to meet yet. My name is Pastor PJ Moline, and on behalf of all of our pastoral and leadership team, it's so great to be able to worship with you this morning. As we transition to the message time, I invite you to open up your prayer and action guides. There's a green sheet in there that says sermon notes and response card. This is meant to be a two-way communication tool. There's a spot where you can jot down scriptures and ideas that you find helpful. And then at the end, I'd love to hear what God is saying to you so we can pray for you and support you on the journey. As you get those ready, I invite you to join me now in prayer. God, we come here this morning from all sorts of different places, with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Well, I hope you're making it better through winter than our family. Both of our kids came down with the flu this past week, which meant that they, oh no, I hope that's not a sign, no. But they were cooped up in the house together all week long. And by the end of the week, they're starting to get a little stir crazy. I came out into the living room where they were playing, and I found my 12-year-old son remodeling his 6-year-old sister's dollhouse so that they would have more space to play. My son is way ahead of me at 12. I didn't learn about remodeling until after college when I first saw the show Extreme Makeover Home Edition with Ty Pennington. Anybody see that show? It was a while ago. But man, Ty was my hero. That guy could do anything when it came to remodeling. Ty and his team, they would race the clock to renovate homes for deserving families. Since then, I've watched many other makeover shows like Fixer Upper, Trading Spaces, Love It or List It, Property Brothers. Maybe you've seen some of those. What I noticed in all of these shows is that renovation often starts with demolition. Sometimes you need to break down dividing walls so that you can build something bigger and better. Our scripture passage for today feels like an episode of Extreme Makeover God Edition. If you want to follow along with me, you can turn in your Bible or Bible app to Ephesians 2, 11 through 22. In case you haven't been with us, our church is going through Ephesians together. This was a letter written by an early Christian leader named Paul to an early Christian church in Ephesus. And even though it was an ancient letter, it is so incredibly relevant for us today. In this episode of Extreme Makeover God Edition, God is renovating a new dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. And God needs to break down some dividing walls in order to build something bigger and better. I'm going to read the passage with you and then talk about the context of what was going on and how it relates to our lives today. But before we read, it's helpful to know that this church contained both Jewish people and non-Jewish people called Gentiles. So I'm going to invite you to stand as you're able. We'll read this passage together. This is found in Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 11. Paul writes, "Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders by birth. You were called the uncircumcised ones by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from God's people, Israel, and you didn't know the promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you belong to Christ Jesus. Though you were once far away from God, now you have been brought near to him because of the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has made peace between us, Jews, and you Gentiles, by making us all one people. He has broken down the wall of hostility that used to separate us. By his death, he ended the whole system of Jewish law that excluded the Gentiles. His purpose was to make peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new person from the two groups, together as one body. Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death, and our hostility towards each other was put to death. He has brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who are far away from him and to us Jews who are near. Now all of us, both Jews and Gentiles, may come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. We are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We who believe are carefully joined together, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also joined together as part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. We give thanks to God for his word. I invite you to be seated. Well, in this episode of Extreme Makeover God Edition, God is renovating a new temple for the Holy Spirit to dwell in. And God needs to break down some dividing walls, actually two big dividing walls, in order to build something bigger and better. I've invited a friend to help me illustrate this passage. Would you guys help me welcome up Tony? You might recognize Tony. He serves on our worship team as a musician and a vocalist. What you may not know is that Tony and I are workout buddies. We're part of a free workout group for all men, all ages, all abilities, called F3, which he has on his shirt. Now, F3 is more than a workout. It stands for fitness, faith, and fellowship. And it's an amazing way for men to grow in community with others. And I asked Tony if he would help me out today because I needed someone with strength and stamina to help illustrate Extreme Makeover God Edition. Are you ready for this, Tony?
Let's do it.
All right. So Tony, he's going to set up a wall. And while he does that, I'm going to set up the first dividing wall that God wants to tear down. And this is the wall between God and us. In verse 12, Paul writes, "In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope." As Paul is describing this, you can almost picture this dividing wall between us and God, a wall that separates us from God's presence, from God's people, from God's promises. In Paul's letter, he identifies some of the bricks in this wall. One brick is ignorance. I mean, for some, we just simply don't know. Don't know about God. Don't know about the hope of the promises that God makes. Another brick in the wall is sin. If you were here last week, we talked about sin. You see, God knows what's best for us and wants for what's best for us. And when God tells us to do something or not to do something, it's for our own good. But when we follow our own inclinations and desires instead of God's, it often gets us into trouble, and we can cause a lot of hurt and damage. That's sin. And through sin, we hurt relationships. We hurt our bodies. We hurt our families. We hurt our planet. We hurt our communities. We hurt people who are vulnerable. And our sin, it invokes God's righteous anger and judgment. It separates us from God. In the ancient temple, there was a sacred place called the Holy of Holies. It was where God's Holy Spirit dwelt. But nobody could go in there except the high priest, and only once a year, because there was this big veil, this big dividing wall, a curtain that separated sinful people from our perfect and holy God. Tony, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't really like having a wall between us. And you know, God doesn't really like having a wall between us either. In Extreme Makeover God Edition, God sent his son Jesus to tear down the wall that divides God and people. In verse 13, It says, but now you have been united with Christ. Once you are far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. Jesus came near to us so that we could know God and that we could know hope. And on the cross, Jesus demonstrated the depths of God's love and grace. See, that this is the difference between Ty Pennington and God. Ty worked with deserving families. God worked with undeserving people. See, we had sinned. We didn't deserve God's love and grace. And yet on the cross, though he was innocent, Jesus took the punishment for all of our wrongs. He drank the cup of God's wrath so that we could be forgiven and set free. And when we place our faith in Jesus, God tears down the dividing wall. Just really quick, a neat detail in the story. In Matthew 27, 51, it says, the moment that Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. It was as if Jesus was saying, nothing you do, nothing that happens, nothing in all of creation, not even death, can ever separate you again from the love of God in Christ Jesus. If you've never before asked Jesus to be your Savior, you can do that right now, right today, and that wall will come tumbling down. Who wants to see Tony knock down the wall? All right. Tony, go for it. Go. Yeah. Woo-hoo. Nicely done. Well, Extreme Makeover God Edition is not done quite yet. Because there's still another dividing wall that God wants to break down. So Tony's going to set up yet another wall while I set up the second big dividing wall that God wants to tear down. And this is the dividing wall between people. You may have picked up as I was going through the reading that there was some tension between the Jewish people and the non-Jewish people. The dividing wall of hostility between them was both literal and figurative. Let me explain. So there was a literal dividing wall of hostility that separated Jews and Gentiles. Here's a picture of the ancient temple in Jesus' day. The outer area was called the court of the Gentiles. So anybody could go in that court. If you wanted to go in, you had to be Jewish. And there was actually a barrier around the temple called the balustrade. And a sign on the balustrade read this: Gentiles, keep out or you will be killed. Pretty nice sign on your temple. This barrier surprises me. Because from the very beginning, God's intention was for his blessings, his covenant promises, to impact all people. I mean, you can go right back to the very beginning when God first made covenant promises with Abraham. God promised him his presence, his provision, his power. And in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, God says, I will bless you and make you a blessing to others. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed by you. Are you tracking? God's intention was for these blessings to impact all people. And yet somewhere along the line, people of faith got it all messed up. We moved from being a people chosen to bless others to being a people filled with spiritual pride that looked down on others. We moved from being a distinct community to being an exclusive community. One example for this church was the Jewish people. They had a distinct mark of circumcision that set them apart as God's unique people. And rather than just simply saying that as a distinct mark for them, they began to use derogatory language to insult people who did not have that mark. They called the Gentiles uncircumcised. Now, I grew up in Hawaii, and there was a word that was used for Caucasian people like me that didn't look like everybody else. They called us haole. Haole literally means foreigner or outsider. It didn't feel really good to be called a haole, and I grew to resent that term. When the Jewish people called the Gentiles uncircumcised, it was like calling them haole, saying, you're foreigners, you're outsiders. Understandably, the Gentiles began to resent the Jewish people. Hundreds of years of hostility began to build up into this dividing wall that separated them. Tony, are you still there? Again, I don't like having a dividing wall between me and my brother Tony. And sadly, hundreds of years have passed since Paul wrote his letter. And yet there's still dividing walls of hostility that are separating people, even along lines of race. Paul's words in Ephesians remind me of a great speech in Remember the Titans. If you're not familiar with that movie, it's about a high school team that was being torn apart by racial division. And the coach got them up early in the morning for a run to teach them a lesson. Let's listen in.
Anybody know what this place is? This is Gettysburg. This is where they fought the Battle of Gettysburg. 50,000 men died right here on this field, fighting the same fight that we're still fighting amongst ourselves today. This green field right here, painted red, bubbling with the blood of young boys, smoke, and hot lead pouring right through their bodies. Listen to their souls, man. They killed my brother with malice in my heart. Hatred destroyed my family. You listen. You take a lesson from the dead. If we don't come together right now on this hollow ground, we too will be destroyed. Just like they were. I don't care if you like each other or not, but you will respect each other. And maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll learn to play this game like men.
Walls of hostility don't just divide, they destroy. This may be a stretch, but can you think of any dividing walls of hostility in our country? There's so many, aren't there? We're divided along lines of age, appearance, gender, race, religion, education, wealth, ability, neighborhoods, political parties, school rivalries, and on and on. There's divisions over disagreements. I feel like we've lost the ability in our culture to dialogue about disagreement with respect without it devolving into hateful language and hateful actions. Let's make it more personal. How about in your life? Can you identify any dividing walls of hostility that are separating you from maybe a spouse or a family member or a neighbor or a coworker? Or a friend, maybe even from church? Tony, it stinks to have this wall between us. And like the coach in Remember the Titans, God wants to break down the dividing walls before they destroy us. And the good news of Extreme Makeover God Edition is that God sent his son Jesus to break down the walls. In verse 14, it says, "For Christ himself brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us." Jesus is our peace. He breaks down the dividing wall so he can bring us together as one. We are one race, the human race, with one problem, sin, one solution, Jesus, one hope, the blessing of life forever with God. If the same blood of Jesus saved me, saves you, guess what? That makes us blood relatives. We're part of the same family, united in God by faith in Christ. Anybody want to see Tony knock the wall down? So you might be thinking, that sounds great, but that's too good to be true. Jesus really can do this in our lives. Jesus did it in Paul's life, the one I was writing. This week, if you have some time, I want you to read Acts chapter 15. In it, Paul was bringing Gentiles to faith in Jesus and was starting to cause tension in the church, especially among the Jewish Christians. They didn't want to accept the Gentiles in who weren't circumcised. It created just this disaster of conflict. And the church leaders came together. They spent time in scripture and prayer, and they were able to resolve the conflict and bring peace in the church. Now, right after that huge triumph of peace, Paul had another dividing wall come up in his own life. His missionary partner, Barnabas, wanted to take Mark with them on the next missionary trip. And Paul did not want to take Mark, because in the last missionary trip, Mark bailed on them. Paul didn't want to take him again. Barnabas did. The conflict got so heated, they actually parted ways. With the help of Jesus, however, these men were able to reconcile. Mark went on to write a gospel account of Jesus' life that we have in our Bible. And later in his life, Paul wrote another letter to his apprentice Timothy, and he said, could you bring Mark to me? He's really helpful in my ministry. Friends, Jesus can really do this in our lives. Jesus can break down dividing walls and bring us together as one in Christ. I've experienced this in my own life. One example was with my dad. I had a lot of hostility in my heart towards my dad after my parents' divorce. I thought I was getting back at my dad, but really that bitterness was just destroying me on the inside. Jesus was able to break down the dividing walls. I had an opportunity to baptize my dad here as a part of this church and begin a brand new relationship with him in Christ. Another example for me is in my marriage. I've been very open in sharing that there was a point in my marriage where I thought it was broken beyond repair, mostly because of my poor choices. And yet Jesus was able to break down the dividing walls. Through Christ, we were able to learn how to confess and to forgive, learn how to rebuild trust and grow together as one in Christ. And God worked through our broken marriage to start a marriage ministry that has been helping many other married couples. This past week, we wrapped up a marriage small group, and couples of all ages, all stages in their relationship, we all gathered together in a circle to pray for our marriages. And it was so fun. I was looking around the circle, and I saw many other couples whose relationships have been saved by Jesus Christ. God really can do this in our lives. In Extreme Makeover God Edition, God can break down the dividing walls to build something bigger and better for his Spirit to dwell. And if you heard at the end, God is building a new temple for the Spirit out of God's people. Each one of the men in F3 get a nickname. Tony's nickname is Brick. I thought that was so fitting for this morning. But it's fitting for this passage, too. Each and every one of us are a brick in the new temple that God wants to build. So the question is, what are you doing with your brick? Are you building up dividing walls of hostility? Or are you helping build oneness in Christ? I found the metaphor of the temple helpful as you think about how do we do this? How do we build oneness? And I want to close by briefly sharing with you five practical ideas that came out of this metaphor of the temple that struck me. So the first idea is cornerstone. Every temple had a cornerstone. It was the foundational stone. It was the stone that set the direction for every other stone after it. And for us, Jesus is our cornerstone. We come together in unity around Jesus, around his love, his grace, his truth, which is greater than any division that could ever divide us. And Jesus sets the direction for how we engage in this world. Jesus encountered hostility, and yet he didn't retaliate like we're so inclined to do. Instead, he transformed it. He took hatred, transformed it, and gave it back his love. He took curses, transformed it, gave it back his blessings. He took cruelty, transformed it, gave it back his kindness. I mean, think about the cross. He's hanging there by people who tortured him, and he's praying what? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. That's how dividing walls fall. And this is not something Jesus just wants us to admire, but to imitate, because he's our cornerstone. The second idea for application is scripture. The temple was a place where scripture was read and discussed. In the passage, Paul says this new temple God's building, it's built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets whose teaching we have in scripture. I don't know about you, but I can get off course when I'm not grounded in scripture. I can get distracted. I can get pushed down a trail of division. And yet it's God's holy scripture that brings us back, that grounds us in truth, that helps us move forward in a healthy way. On Ash Wednesday, we're going to be sharing in both the family services and the traditional service, sharing scriptures and resources that can help us grow together as one in Christ as we seek to follow him in this world. Also during Lent, I'm going to be hosting just a five-week small group called the Red Letter Challenge, challenging us to not only read, but act on the things that Jesus asked us to do. We'd love to have you join us in scripture. The third idea is mercy. The temple was a place where people offered sacrifices for sin and received God's mercy. As God's new temple, we're to be a community of mercy. Jesus offered the ultimate sacrifice with his own life on the cross so that everybody could freely receive God's mercy. And just as we've freely received mercy, Jesus asks us to extend mercy to those who have wronged us. And that might seem like just that'll take way too much energy. Do you know what? It takes a lot of energy to build and maintain dividing walls of hostility. And it can be so liberating to allow God's mercy to dissolve those walls and flow out through us and to heal and mend God's broken temple. Obviously, we can't do this by our own power, and so that brings us to the fourth application idea, and that's prayer. The temple was a place of prayer. And Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. It's really hard to hold on to hostility against someone that you're praying for. Because in prayer, God works on our heart, healing our hurts, changing our perspective, releasing our bitterness, helping us see a better way forward. So if there's a dividing wall between you and someone else, here's my challenge for you. Pray for them every day until God breaks that wall down in your heart. The last idea is probably my favorite, pilgrimage. So the ancient temple was in one location because it's a building. People had to make a pilgrimage to go to that temple. God's new temple has legs, our legs. It can move. There's going to be people who will never come into this building on their own. And that's okay, because this building moves. Our challenge is to pilgrimage outward. And just like Jesus, we can walk out into a world, walk into people's lives who are far from God, and bring the good news of his grace. Just like Jesus, we can walk across dividing lines and model the transforming love of God in this world. Last week, I prayed with a woman who was going to cross a dividing line by going to a birthday party with a part of the family that was estranged. And she said she was going because she wanted to be a good example for her grandson and show her grandson what followers of Jesus do. With God's help, she was able to go and bring the love of Jesus and really have a great experience. And I know that even our best attempts, we won't always be able to have peace with other people. But what we always can do is be the ones that make the first move. It always takes somebody to make the first move. So I challenge you this week, be the one that makes the first move. Be the first one to step across lines of difference. Be the first one to reach out. Be the first one to show respect. Be the first one to listen. Be the first one to say, I'm sorry. Be the first one to say, I forgive you. Be the first one to begin mending the walls. See, God can use bricks like that to build a bigger, better dwelling place for God's Holy Spirit. The bottom of your sermon notes is a response card, and I want to invite you to prayerfully consider how you can respond to the scripture and the message for today. If you put your name and your email, I promise I will pray for you and write to you. You have the green sheets that you can use. You can also use your phones. Up on the screen, there's a instruction if you flip to the next one. If you text the word GSC space sermon to the number 313131, you'll get a link back to fill out a confidential response card so we can pray for you and encourage you. So take some time with God, and then I'll lead us to the table.